Hello and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm your host, Megan Rickson, and to talk about jobs in federal government with me today is Grace Pushman. So Grace, to get us started, if you had to work a job in the federal government, what job would it be?
My favorite place to travel other than Disney World are national parks.
Yeah.
So I think maybe a national park ranger, just because I mean, they're such lovely places to be.
Right.
So can you imagine like waking up every day and you
in Yellowstone?
Yeah, that's what I would choose. That's my favorite.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, I also feel like I am kind of, I wouldn't say I'm high maintenance, but like to be outside every day,
yeah,
I think would be a challenge for me.
Right.
So it'd be like if I could do a job for a summer.
Yes.
That's what I would choose. I think it'd be a great like
a little seasonal
or a year. Like a,
yeah,
just like a, you know, probably not for my career, but I think that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
What would you do for a federal job if you could choose?
So I really like languages. So I think I would probably choose like a translator for the United Nations or something.
And
cool,
you
like that.
Were a French major.
Right.
So
yeah.
Would that be the language or would you like try to learn?
I think definitely would be French. Yes. Yes. I would need a lot more work and probably need to live in a French speaking country for a while.
Which wouldn't be a bad deal.
Which would be amazing. Yeah.
I think we
totally
need to work
do that.
This out. Yeah.
So yeah, in addition to these couple of examples that we mentioned, another role in the government is working for the Secret Service. And today we are really lucky to have an interview with a former Secret Service agent. His name is Ben Witt. Before we get to our interview with Ben, Grace, do you want to just start with maybe giving some resume tips for students interested in this field?
Yes. So, you know, if you're applying for a federal position, resumes can be a little specific, like they want certain things that not other resumes always are looking for. Usually we kind of tell students a lot of resumes kind of are similar throughout the different, you know, fields. But with a government resume, a couple things you want to keep in mind is that you do want it to be pretty standard as far as the format, like read it left to right, up to bottom to top. No, top to bottom.
Yeah, don't do bottom to top. Yeah.
Yeah, so have it kind of be standard black and white, nothing too fancy with the format. And then as far as the content to put on there, it is going to be pretty similar to other resumes. And honestly, it looks similar to a lot of other resumes too. However, you will include some information that you normally wouldn't include on a resume, such as how much you were paid at your jobs that you're going to put on there. So any work experience you're going to put, if you were part-time, full-time, what your pay was, whether that's hourly or salaried. You might put your supervisor's names on there, which again, typically you would have that on a reference page separate,
right?
Potentially, but you'd probably put your supervisor's names. And then, you know, if you have worked for the government before, you want to put the level that you were at on the resume. You might also put that you're, if you are a U.S. citizen or your citizenship status might be put directly on your resume. So there are some just like specific details like that.
That they kind of just need
to
know.
Yeah, and we do have on our Career Communities webpage, so if you go to the Grand Valley Career Center website, there's a tab at the top that says Join a Career Community. And when you click that, if you go to the Human and Public Service Community, which typically federal government jobs would fall under, there is a button at the bottom of the page that says, I think, like, federal resume tips or something like that that you can look at, and it will give you more info.
Right, yeah. Because it is a little bit more formulaic than your average.
Yeah. And
resume.
you
just a few you extra
don't, if you Google
include.
It, like you don't have to follow the very specific format that they show you, but you more or less want to kind of go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. So in addition to tailoring your resume, you will probably also want to keep in mind that the application process itself is going to be a little different than what you might be used to or what you might kind of be considering, because it's not uncommon for the process to take 10 to 12 months to get hired in. And that can even be for internships, which just seems wild. And that's really for any federal government position. So, for example, if you are at all interested in interning with the FBI, you'll probably want to start your application no later than the fall of your junior year, if you're following kind of that traditional graduation path so that you can get hired in before your senior year. Background checks are obviously going to be a big part of that. And then the interview process just might be a little bit more intense, a little bit more lengthy than in some other fields. So it's kind of, you know, they're checking you out a bit more.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. You're under a little bit more scrutiny than a typical job. I know my cousin, this was like 15 years ago. She, yeah. I believe it was the FBI that she applied for. And she got super far in the process. This wasn't an internship. It was for like a full-time position.
Mm-hmm.
She got
mm-hmm.
very far in the process. I think she was like one of the final two people. Mm-hmm. And they gave her a lie detector test. They went and they interviewed basically everyone in her life, including a roommate she'd had like 10 years prior.
Oh my gosh.
So they really do. They are very extensive in looking at candidates. I will say for an intern, it probably wouldn't be quite to that level.
Right. And for some positions, like a park ranger might not be as intense as
exactly,
Secret Service.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, it sounds like the real takeaway here is that you want to be thinking about this in advance, pre-planning, if you want to work in the federal government in any way, shape, or form. So that leads us to our next segment, where we do get to interview Ben Witt, who has lots of advice for students planning to work in this field. Ben, why don't you just get started by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you. I'm Ben Witt. I graduated from Grand Valley State University in 2002 with a degree in criminal justice and history.
Well, with that in mind, with your majors, I'm curious to know when you started at Grand Valley, what were you thinking you wanted to do career-wise? Did you have any ideas?
Yeah, absolutely. When I came to school, I thought I was going to be a teacher. So I started a history degree thinking I'd teach high school history, maybe coach. Was working on a sports minor. I don't think I quite completed it, but came close. But so like my career path completely changed, like a lot of students do,
mm-hmm.
When I took CJ 101. So I had a great professor for that. He's now passed, Dr. James Walker. But, just really kind of piqued my interest in law enforcement as a field in general, but also never really lost the love of history. So I made it a dual.
The real reason we have you here, mm-hmm. Of course, we love that you work at Grand Valley now, which you are the director of student conduct and conflict resolution, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah. But we want to go a little bit back in time as well, because you had a pretty cool career in the Secret Service, right?
Yes.
Okay. I won't put words in your mouth. Maybe it wasn't cool. But how did you end up doing that? I think for our listeners would love to hear kind of that whole process for how you go from this criminal justice major at Grand Valley mm-hmm. to a role in the Secret Service.
Sure. So when I started doing the criminal justice degree, my initial major aspiration was like a lot of people are thinking, well, I'd like to try federal someday, but, hopefully get like a local law enforcement job or maybe in state police, and then maybe ultimately aspire to get the mm-hmm. FBI or an agency like that. And then what happened was 9/11. So I was a senior during the terrorist attacks on September 11th. And with that came a major shift in a lot of federal agencies' workforce. So there were opportunities available that had never really been available at entry level.
Mm-hmm.
So to start out in the Secret Service would have been quite unusual prior to 9/11. But because those attacks happened and the workforce shifted, a lot of Secret Service personnel went over to the private sector at that time. A lot of private security was setting up, looking at threat assessment, threat mitigation, and a lot of Secret Service personnel also went over to the U.S. Air Marshals program that was a fledgling federal program at that point. So they let a lot of us with very little experience mm-hmm. other than a bachelor's degree into the agency. So I was brought on in 2002 with the U.S. Secret Service Uniform Division and stationed at the White House.
Okay.
That is pretty cool. I think it's really cool.
I agree.
And I'm curious to know, what did you like best about your experience in the Secret Service?
Well, I mean, the White House is obviously where everything happens.
Yeah.
So I was in the Bush administration. And while I was there, it was obviously a very intense period mm-hmm. in our nation's history. Not unlike, I'm sure, the recent period that we're going through with COVID. But we'd had the war on terror being fought on one front at the time that I began in the agency in Afghanistan, and then ultimately expanded to the war in Iraq. So mm-hmm. there was a lot of big global events happening outside of the major hub that the White House is to our everyday life as Americans. So just being kind of front and center for that as a you know, part of the security apparatus for our nation was a very, very unique experience and one that served me well in my career.
How long were you with the Secret Service?
I left in 2004.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was with the agency for 2 years and never thought that I'd separate permanently.
Mm-hmm.
When I got hired in, there were a lot of us who were, you know, entry level, and they were putting classes through the academies, you know, basically week by week, mm-hmm. which was unprecedented for them. But I thought, you know, I kind of need to differentiate myself from the herd. So I knew I had some time that if I left, I could work on a master's degree and then possibly come back and figure out a career path within the agency that was more suited to where I was at the time. But ultimately ended up working in higher ed at Central Michigan University, where I went to do my master's, and really found that I loved working in the college space. Mm-hmm. I loved working with students, faculty and staff, and just haven't left since.
Kind of interesting, you went full circle because you initially wanted to be a teacher or work in education, yeah. and now you do work in education.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way. That's a good point, Grace. Thank you.
There you go, Grace. is there anything about the experience that you would have done differently? Would you have stayed longer if you knew you weren't going to be coming back? Or is there anything, you know, throughout those 2 years that you would have changed?
Well, I can say that the 2 years I was at the agency, you crammed probably about a decade of travel into.
Wow.
So, you know, basically living out of a suitcase mm-hmm. was, you know, we were short-staffed, like a lot of federal agencies, but the U.S. Secret Service Uniform Division was especially short-staffed. So, like, the travel was very intense. We were gearing up for the 2004 presidential election. So, you know, those cycles start basically
early,
2 years, two years out from the next one. So, like, the travel was already quite intense.
Mm.
You know, the Secret Service's mission is not just to protect the president and vice president, but also, you know, their families, other dignitaries in the U.S. government and foreign officials. So, you know, it's quite a large mission and quite a small workforce. So, you know, it was a very tumultuous time for the agency. And I think if I had to do all over again, I would have maybe stayed a little bit longer.
Mm.
I would have stayed a little bit longer, stayed the course. Maybe, you know, looked at some tracks that I was on course for if I'd stayed on. But, mm-hmm. you know, you do things in the moment.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I never got back, but had a great first experience with Secret Service.
Great.
And I'm wondering, you know, I know you got into it in a very specific point in time, right, with 9/11. If students are interested in going into that field today, do you have any advice for them to get their foot in the door or how that would work?
Absolutely. You know, I think the first thing to do is to kind of do your homework. When I was at GVSU, you know, I had a great professor, Tom Ackerman, who was at the time an FBI agent out of Lansing. And he actually wrote the book on the guide to careers in federal law enforcement.
Literally wrote the book.
I think, did I give you a copy, Grace?
Ben,
yeah.
Okay. Yes, I have it in my office.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, you know, Tom Ackerman was able to kind of, you know, help us when we took his class to kind of see that there's lots of different pathways in the feds. And just the agencies that you see on TV, that's not necessarily the only ones that are out there. You know, there's lots of federal law enforcement jobs. And I know that, you know, a lot of them tend to like the workforce in general have a lot of turnover. So it's good to kind of know what you're looking for in an employer and know what they're looking for in an employee, and to really set up your experience as a student around that. Internships are great if you can get them, but if you can't get an internship with the agency that, you know, you seek as your ultimate goal, look for other opportunities, because really what it comes down to is just being able to differentiate yourself from other candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I found was, you know, I'd had some leadership roles at GVSU that I was able to optimize to my advantage as a candidate and stuff like that. So it's really, you know, building a resume, mm-hmm. building a portfolio, and not discounting your experience. You know, being very mindful of how you track that and how you're able to sell it to a potential employer, especially one in public service where, you know, they're definitely metric driven. They've got their descriptions, and those jobs have criteria, and just finding ways to match your experience to them is the key.
I love that you mention, you know, internships are great and we're such big proponents of students having internships, but it's not just that, you know, it's not just internships that are valuable. So I'm glad that you mm-hmm. mentioned that because mm-hmm. there are so many other ways to show that you have some skills and leadership ability and other valuable assets mm-hmm. that employers are looking for in addition to, or not just the federal government, but all employers.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I love that you also said like how you talk about it, that mm-hmm. you don't sell yourself short. What was the interview process like?
Quite intense. So, I mean, I don't want to give too much away about that, but, you know, it's, they are as intense an interview process as you would imagine an agency like the Secret Service to have. So, the reasons are, I mean, these are the folks that are on the front lines of our nation's leadership security. So, you know, they are looking for the people that are the most trustworthy and ready for such a mission. So, I mean, there's panel interviews, there's one-on-one interviews, there's a full field background check. You know, all Secret Service personnel, at least at the time, had to hold a top secret security clearance. So, you know, you are in a room where potentially anything can be said, and you know you have to meet the utmost scrutiny to keep our nation's secrets and to keep the mission. So it's an intense process. It's a long process, even mm-hmm. expedited like it was for me. It takes months for them to do a full field investigation. So.
Yeah. Wow. And you had mentioned earlier kind of the way we see careers portrayed on TV. So we'd love the scoop. Like, what are they getting wrong when they're portraying the Secret Service on TV?
You know, it's funny. The Secret Service is probably one where they don't get a lot wrong.
Okay.
And the reason I'll say that, when I was in the agency, I had the opportunity to actually go to the film office at Secret Service headquarters. And there is an attaché in the agency who actually works with production studios, works with Hollywood studios. To make sure that they get it right. Because
that's cool.
It's a recruitment tool.
Yeah.
There was a great saying in the Secret Service. There's no secrets in the Secret Service when it comes to, you know, what the agency's mission is and what it's all about. So like they want those details to be portrayed accurately. They want the uniforms to look right. They want the cars to look right, that kind of stuff.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, it is really kind of interesting that I'm sure the FBI or somebody has that too, but you know, with the Secret Service, they tend to get a lot more right than they get wrong. I mean, I think that one thing that they all always get wrong is that it's, you know, we would say it's, you know, 5% sheer terror, 95% boredom. You know, like a lot of response driven fields. You know, they tend to skip right to the action when you watch, you know,
that's true. Yeah.
In the line of fire, 24 or whatever. So you know,
I think that's true of almost every profession you see on TV.
So.
Like they're not showing you the paperwork involved.
No,
right?
No.
Literal standing there.
Yeah.
I like how you mentioned, I didn't even think about that aspect of it being a recruitment tool,
mm-hmm.
but I do know as career advisors, we are often hearing students say, I want to do this job because I saw it on TV or because I love this show that portrays this role, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, nursing or FBI or whatever the case, mm-hmm. crime scene mm-hmm. investigator. So that's so cool that they have, you know, a specific, you said office?
Yeah.
That does that. Yeah.
Yep.
That's neat.
Yep. Yeah. It was interesting to see the apparatus and what goes into the agency. It's a lean agency compared to other federal law enforcement agencies. It's one of the smaller, at least it was at the time. So, but they're very mindful of how they allocate resources and how they deploy them. And there was a reason for everything. We didn't always see it at the time, but they're like many federal agencies. You know, there's a lot of bureaucracy, but you know, there's a reason for everything that they do, and they have a zero fail mission, so they're pretty great at what they do.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, I loved hearing about, like, this is just a part, a career that we don't normally know people who have done it.
Right.
So it's just so neat to be able to work with someone and to have you take the time to chat with us about your experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
Absolutely.
Valuable.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And you work at Grand Valley. So if a student was interested in kind of doing an informational interview with you, chatting with you about it, are you open to chatting with students?
Oh, yeah. Always happy to talk to Lakers or anyone who's interested in a career in federal law enforcement about my experience for what it's worth. And then to kind of, you know, just help them get in. I think it's more mindset than anything.
Yeah.
I think it's really if you're looking at federal law enforcement, especially, you know, it's a mindset and it's understanding that it's not a job, it's a lifestyle. And that's really the big thing that I think, you know, it you can't emphasize that enough, is that what you're signing up for is really, it's a 24/7 lifestyle that you're going into.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I think that answered all our questions. Oh, this was so interesting.
Yeah.
So thank you so much to everybody for listening, and we hope you tune in to a future episode soon.